Hey, welcome. This is Andy of Andy's Personal Development, and we are currently live in the breakout room. It is an amazing time that we can come before you and share content, information, knowledge, everything that would lead to health, happiness, and prosperity. And on this episode, there are no exceptions to what we are trying to accomplish as we build this community together. So, without further ado, let me just bring you up to speed on our guest as I share some information with you about him. He's an author, a motivational speaker, and entrepreneur. And with his books published in 15 languages, he has sold over 500,000 copies worldwide. His name is Scott Allen, and he's on a mission to transform the human potential. There is so much more I can say about our guest at this time, but we'll leave the rest up to him as he will be the man of the moment as I bring him on stage to share his information, his content, and his value. Welcome, Scott Allen.
Thanks, Andy. It's great to be here. It's good to meet you.
It's great to see you, to be with you, and to have you live in the breakout room. So, Scott, let's begin by asking you my opening question, and I asked this a lot on my podcast. With regards to your legacy, and I know that you have one that's already in the making, I can see from the information, I've looked at your profile, you have an amazing legacy already that has been set. When folks hear the name Scott Allen, what do you want them to think about the most? What do you think is pleasing for you that it comes to their mind and they say, yes, that's his brand. That's this guy. What is it for you?
That's a great question. So when people think about the work that I do,
yeah,
I don't want them to just think, oh, yeah, he's the guy who helped me with a problem. I want to help people literally reinvent their lives from the ground up. So through my teachings and my programs, I provide people with the strategies and the tactics they need to move forward so that they can get unstuck, because this is one of the core reasons people don't move forward or make progress in their lives, is because they don't know what to do, or they need someone to guide them towards that door, to open up the door. We all eventually have to walk through it, but I give people the opportunity to, make the most of themselves, make the best of themselves, the best version of themselves. So when they think about, Scott Allen, he helped me to change everything. You know, I want to change, not just change their lives, but change the lives of everybody they come into contact with, because it's not just about us in the world. It's us and everybody that you meet on a daily basis, whether it's through video or if it's just outside, you know, in your regular day. You have the chance to impact people's lives every day, like hundreds of people, thousands, millions, if you're on social media or, you know, you're out there making a difference. But just coming back to, your question is that if people want to have that kind of impact, they can. Like, it's open to everybody. You just have to have the willingness to want to learn, the willingness to change, and the willingness to just accept, you know, like, this is who you are right now, but there's a much greater version of all of us, you know, that's waiting in the tomorrow, next week, next year. So,
yeah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing, Scott. I hear coming from you two very important virtues. One, empowerment, and two, personal development. And that's extremely important for us as individuals, as human beings, to recognize that we can always be the better version of ourselves despite what we are going through. When did it dawn on you, Scott, that you had this ability that you so fondly speak of? Was there an aha moment for you, or was it something that you gradually realized, grew into, and then you decided, this is my gift, this is my calling, I'm just going to share it with the world?
Yeah, it started a long time ago, I think at least a couple of decades back, when I was going through kind of like a personal transition, you know, and I had to make some changes in my own life. And in order to do that, I started to read a lot of books on self-help, personal development, and just to name a few names, they were books by, you know, Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, etc.
Right.
Now, I started to read these books and I felt that I was changing myself. You know, I was changing within myself, changing my thinking, my mindset was key. And as I started to do this, I started to share my insights with other people, my friends, family, and then outside of that circle, other people that I would meet. And they would start to ask me questions. Oh, well, how did you do this? And what do you think about this? And the more of those questions that I got, the more I felt like the better I was at serving people and helping them to make changes, because they come back later and they go, oh, I tried that thing you mentioned and actually it worked. And sometimes it didn't work. And they would share that with me and I would change my approach. Now, I wasn't trying to serve everybody and give everybody the answers. But when I learn something, I want to pass it on to other people. And that's really where when I got into the writing again and started writing those kinds of books, I got a lot of feedback from my audience, you know, and they were, again, asking questions about, you know, you wrote this in the book, why did you write this? And how can I apply this to my life? So I was really hesitant at first because I was always, I think, fearful of giving people the wrong information or giving them the wrong answer. And they might go out there and make a mistake and blame me for it. But I realized that's part of life. You know, I can only show somebody how to do something. And then we all have to take that knowledge and apply it. And you're going to get a result or an outcome. It may not be the same outcome that I get or somebody else gets, but you have to try it. You have to test things in this world just to see what works and what doesn't. And when something doesn't work, that's great. That's if you fail at it, that's really good information that says, okay, well, I'm going to try it a different way.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's just part of the process, I think, especially with personal development, is that, you know, we call it self-growth, personal development, scaling up. This is something you really have to be intentional about investing your time and your life into, because I think that self-growth is something that, although it may come naturally in a way, in many cases, if we don't feed into our desire to build our own destiny, we end up defaulting to creating the destiny and dreams and goals of somebody else or something else. So you need to be intentional with your own path.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, Scott. You talk about the default aspect, the default personality, the default programs that we sometimes find ourselves succumbing to. Could you technically say that when you speak about that default personality that we constantly, sometimes just even unwittingly, unknowingly fall into, that it sort of aligns itself with something that we call the imposter syndrome? Is that a possibility?
Oh, it certainly is, yeah. So the imposter syndrome, what happens there is that the imposter syndrome is what we always experience this when we're in a situation that is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing, because the imposter syndrome will always show up when you're trying to become something that you're not yet. You know, you still you're out of your comfort zone, and you're in that zone where, you know, there's risk involved. You're feeling scared. And the imposter syndrome shows up because it's saying, hey, you know, this isn't who you are yet. So maybe we should just go back to the person we are, because that's more familiar. So the imposter syndrome is a good thing. A lot of people think that it's actually, you know, it's a negative concept. And if I'm an imposter, I'm not the real thing. I go through this all the time when I'm in an arena where I'm trying to move from who I am to, you know, somebody else. You know, I want to scale up, get into a different zone, become somebody different. And as soon as you start to move towards that, you have that imposter syndrome. Remember, it's there just to help you, because eventually, once you go through that path and you become that greater version of yourself, that imposter syndrome will eventually fade away, but you're going to experience it again when you get comfortable and you want to go to the next level.
Right.
I actually think it's a good indicator that you're on the right path.
Yeah. Wonderful perspective. And I totally agree with you, Scott. Thanks for sharing. I'm going to give you some choices, and it has to do with how you get your inspiration for the writing that you do. Is it by basic research? Is it by experience? Or is it a combination of the two?
That's a great question. So a part of it is research. Now, I'm not a clinical psychologist yet, but I love the topic of studying about human behavior. So I'm obsessed with learning about that. I'm surrounded by books on the topic. I listen to books and audiobooks all the time about that, because that is part of the research and the commitment as well, is to learning how things work so that you can pass it on to other people. So yes, research. The other part of it really is taking time to think about your ideas. And that means getting silent with yourself. So I like to do creative visualization or creative meditation, where I just sit down and I'll think through a problem, for example. So a lot of, I think what happens with a lot of people is that we have a problem and we just start thinking about the problem, and the solution doesn't really present itself because we're just stuck in the problem. But when you actually get quiet, you start to think through the problem, the solution eventually will, for me anyway, it usually appears there if I'm, you know, if I can get to a place where I'm in the flow, like once my thoughts get into the flow. But that's also where I get ideas for other books, other frameworks that I can teach. So I always have pen and paper on hand when I get those ideas. And sometimes they come at in my sleep, you know, in our dreams. Like, well, I always keep a pen and paper next to my bed. I get ideas. And fiction authors do this all the time. You know, they get ideas, wake up, and they have to write them down. So I do the same thing. But yeah, so the inspiration is something that, you know, I'm just aware that it's always there. And a deeper aspect to that is the imagination, and just being able to tap into your imagination more and realizing that, you know, you are the architect of your destiny, which means that you have the power to create anything that you want. And a lot of my inspiration just comes from that belief.
Yeah.
Because it just opens up new doorways, you know, for higher level of, like, a deeper level of imagination at a much higher level. And, you know, once you start to move into that realm, like, there's no telling what you can create or do or become.
Yeah, great. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Scott. I want to show you something here. And the question that I want to ask is, what is the basic message in this publication? Do the easy things, do the easy, hard things first. Mm-hmm. What is the basic message in the publication, this publication?
Yes, great question. So do the hard things first. This initially came out, I think the first book is the one on the Black, Orange, and Yellow. That's a series. We actually have six books coming up. The basic theme behind this message is that, well, the first book came out because of my chronic procrastination that I've struggled with for a very long time, most of my life. The first book is actually dealing with procrastination. But it's not only about that. As I started to work deeper with the series, I realized that doing the hard things first is really about doing the things that make you uncomfortable, because you want to become a much greater version of who you currently are. And who you currently are, by the way, is great. Like, don't, I wouldn't look at yourself now and think, oh, you know, I'm not that good. I want to be much better. You're great as you are, but just think the potential to be so much greater before your time here is over is about doing the hard things first, because doing those things that are uncomfortable is going to make you want to move into another zone where you generally, like, it just feels very unnatural at first. But one of the things that I do every morning is I make a list of the three things that are hard for me, things that I've been putting off usually, right? Things I'm procrastinating on. I don't want to do it because it is hard. So the default to that is just to go do something easy. But the problem is you don't move towards your goals when you do that. So doing the hard first is just doing those things that's moving you towards your goals. And if you don't know what your goals are, well, you can start with that. You know, like just getting clear on what it is that you want, getting clarity, actually. you know, getting that that clarity on who you want to become, what you want to achieve, and I think most importantly is what would you like your message to be somewhere down there? What would you like your legacy to be in the future? Yeah. People actually look back and say, oh yeah, that was, you know, she helped me really a lot with this thing. You know, I think that's one of the greatest things we can give back to humanity is just the fact that we help somebody to move forward with something, because the impact of that, it's not just one person you could be helping. That person's going to be talking to other people. And then next thing you know, you could have taught something to somebody, and that can reach 1,000, 10,000, like a million people, you know, in the course of like 10, 20, 50 years. So
yeah. Great. Thanks for sharing, Scott. It reminds me of a speech that I heard from Eric Thomas, E.T. as he's affectionately called, and he said, we should not ever try to go to the least place of resistance in what we do, but rather to the toughest place of resistance. Mm. And he said, the reason for doing that is because if you do the tough things first, then the easy things become easier. Mm-hmm. And that makes so much more sense. So I can align with what you're saying, and it resonates with me. Thanks for sharing, Scott. Would you say that there are specific steps that someone can take to discover what their destiny in life is? Let's say someone is really trying to focus on, why am I here? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to do that could really bring fulfillment and even success? Are there any particular steps that they can take that you can encourage them or share with them that they can know, hey, if I do X, Y, Z, or A, B, C, I can find my destiny, and then I can decide how am I going to approach it?
Sure. It's a great question. I think just circling back to the idea about purpose.
Yeah.
I think finding your life purpose, it's not something that you have to find per se, because what I found on the path is that my purpose in life 30 years ago was a lot different than my purpose today. And I could say like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I think our purpose is something that is something that changes as you are evolving and changing. And also as your destiny is moving forward, your purpose is always going to be focused on what is that thing that you're actually going for. Now you can call it a goal or something you're trying to achieve, but just think of it as that big, you know, bright, shiny light, whatever it may be, but you're moving towards something.
Right.
And whatever that is, you need to align your actions in order to move towards that goal. Mm. So getting back to your life's purpose, well, for me, my purpose is based on whatever my goal is. Then, you know, I break it down to actually, what is my purpose for today? Because I think that when we start to think of it as, you know, my life purpose is this. Now, sure, we can have a life purpose and, you know, you could be committed to something 100%. Maybe your purpose is that. But within that purpose, you're going to have a set of actions that you're taking every day that's making you, you know, you're becoming something more. And you're also moving into the future. You're moving your thoughts into the future, your vision into the future. And your purpose is just part of the blueprint, right?
Right, yeah.
Something that I talk about a lot, again, is the visualization process. So again, when I'm visualizing, and when I say creative visualization, really means just getting comfortable with sitting down and taking some time out to spend alone with yourself. I think a lot of people don't do that as often, and they really should. And it doesn't have to be meditation. You can call it whatever you want to. A friend of mine called it just sitting there for 30 minutes, you know. But in that moment, that's when you want to start to visualize, you know, who you want to become, what you want to do, all these things that you want to be moving towards for, you know, tomorrow, next week. And I talk about the future a lot, because if we're not moving that direction, then what happens in most cases is that we're focusing on the past. We're focusing on the failures of the past, the mistakes we made, all the things we didn't do, the regrets. And we're taking all of those things, we're bringing them into the present moment. And that usually is manifested in trauma, and we're moving it into the future. So now the future that we're creating is built on the past. And that way we just end up recreating more of that, you know, which I think that most people, that's where a lot of the discontent comes from. Because as Tony Robbins said, the only measure of success, the only measure of true success is progress. I think that's the thing just to keep in mind, is that you want to be progressing forward. And yes, realizing your life purpose for the time being is a great thing. You know, I'll just give you an example. One of my greatest passions and my purpose is to teach people what they need to know to help them build the foundational tools to reinvent their life. And I feel like right now that's my purpose. I might have that can still be, and by the way, you can have multiple purposes. It doesn't just have to be one thing. Okay. Right? So that's one of my purposes. And I have other things that I can build into that. You know, but overall though, I think just coming back to, if you're just starting on this path where, and by the way, when I say that, I mean, you're just becoming conscious of it. A little conscious of it for a while, and you want to go deeper with it. Just one of the tools that I do is journaling. I love journaling. And when you actually start to journal things out, you become much more clear on what thoughts you're having. And once you're clear on the thoughts that you're having, then you can consciously choose which thoughts you want to create. Now, we have like 50,000 thoughts a day, so we're not going to be aware of all of them.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be. You just have to be clear on the thoughts that you're having in the moment. And that's going to be, you know, a struggle. It's going to be, you're going to feel like you're at war with your mind. That's an okay thing too. Imposter syndrome is going to show up, and self-doubt and uncertainty, and all these things are going to say, you shouldn't be doing this. We should go back to watching Netflix because this is really scary stuff. But it is, but it doesn't have to be. It's something that you can just embrace in the moment. So a book that I'd written a while back was called Nothing Scares Me. And that was the premise of that book, was really just to embrace your fear and lean hard into it and move forward with it. This is part of Do the Hard Things First framework as well, that nothing in life is, well, most things in life are not easy. They might appear to be. But my take on that is that if your life is too easy, too comfortable, you may want to take a look at that, because you may not be working hard enough to actually make changes in your life. And this happens to everybody. It happens to me all the time. I love comfort. And when I do, I start leaning harder into comfort food and you know, comfort activities and things like that. And don't get me wrong. It's good to relax and put, you know, spend time with family and do those things. And but when it's time for you to get into your zone, you want to be clear on what it is that you are working towards. And again, if you want to get clarity on that, clarity is the key. Take time to journal it out. You know, think deeper about your thoughts. Actually observe your thoughts. And when you start to put these things together, you know, you're able to, you know, put your mind into a place where it's probably going to be switched on at a very like high rate. Like it's going to be, you're going to be so in tune with what it is that you want to do that you're going to become obsessed with that idea. And obsession is a good thing. Obsession about something that you want to, if you really want, once you know what that is, you become unstoppable. So.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to always be making some references, and I remind myself of hearing an interview with Kobe Bryant, and he spoke about the Black Mamba mentality, and he said since he was 6 years of age, Scott, he knew that he wanted to be the best, and he had challenges. The challenges were physical mostly. He had the talent, but he needed to develop that physical aspect that was missing, and he knew it was going to be a challenge, and so he created this mentality in his mind that despite that, the fact that this is going to be a challenge, I, Kobe Bryant, I'm going to get it done. And later on in his career, while guys were doing two sessions per day, he was doing three.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always a couple steps ahead of the game. So I get where you're coming from, Scudder, and I really appreciate that. Thanks for sharing. In terms of the publications that you have done, which one to you personally stands out the most or sends the best message that you want to get out to the world?
It's a tough question. I'd like to say all of them. That wouldn't be true.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very driven to push to do the hard things first, but I'm not going to go in that direction. I'm just going to grab one of them up here.
Yep,
one of the books that I've written a while back is called Relaunch Your Life.
Right.
And the reason I chose this one is because this book, and I have a follow-up book that I'll be putting out in the near future on this as well.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this book was very personal to me because it happened at a time when my father had just passed away. And one of the things that he had requested of me at the time is that I write a book that's going to, help people to change their mindset. And he knew that I was writing, and he was giving me ideas for books and things like that. And he actually gave me the idea for this book.
Yeah.
So now this may be on a personal level, but okay. Everybody else, like to, if you wanted to dive into this book, the reason that it can really help you out is because it helps you to break through a lot of your like negative emotions and limiting beliefs.
Okay.
And something that I've really been focusing harder on these days is observing what those limiting beliefs are.
Mm-hmm.
And limiting beliefs will lead to a limiting lifestyle. In other words, whatever it is that you believe, you're going to, if this is your circle, everything that you believe in is within this circle, and your limiting beliefs, this is where they are. So what this material teaches you is to step out of that zone and start to believe in something that is greater than yourself. And once we start to move into, we actually can create another zone where we start to move into this other zone where, think of it as an empty circle, and you're in the middle of this circle, and all you have to do is create everything and anything that you want to within this circle. So the other circle is already filled with, your past and your limiting beliefs and your thoughts and all these things that appear to be a jumbled mess. But when you've got this new circle and you realize like the only thing you need to do is create your thing, then it opens up this space in your mind, and you're able to go into that at any time.
Yeah.
And build out something that you've never had before. I think that's when it comes to like Relaunch Your Life is about that. It's about starting something new. And by the way, just coming back to what you said about Kobe Bryant, I had that book. It's amazing. And what I love about his path, like when it comes to the high level performers, is that, yes, many of them knew from the beginning or from a very early age what they wanted to do. But I also think a big part of that is destiny. But they also developed the obsession to become so good at that. Like they knew they wanted to be better than everybody else. So they were always going the extra mile. If Michael Jordan, I think I remember reading, like everybody else quit the basketball court at 5 p.m. He was on until 8 or 9 p.m. still shooting hoops. What's the difference? That's the going that extra mile. Like you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And you don't have to be, a world-class basketball player or anything like that. You can apply this to anything in your life. And when you know exactly what it is that you want, you're striving for, you take that, you mix it with a deep obsession for doing whatever it takes to get there. Once again, you just become this unstoppable force. You develop this life force that, the power of it is just unfathomable. It's just so huge, So, But anyway, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's just a great book to learn from. But also just looking at, the way that he lived his life, it was all about his mindset. And same with Michael Jordan, I could pull out, 100 different other entrepreneurs and people who were able to achieve something at a higher level. It is a higher level of genius, but the thing is, everybody to realize that you have that too. We tend to idolize people who have done these things. We think, but that's not me. I can't, hit a golf ball. I can't, you know, play baseball, whatever it may be. I can't write a book. But, you know, it just has to start with an idea. And I think like that idea, you can build on it. But I've never taken a writing class per se, read a lot of books. A lot of them were just like self-taught. But I had this obsession to just do this thing. And I'm not finished yet. I'm still a long ways to go, right? But that's the thing is you have to start somewhere. You have to start with something. So,
Yeah. Okay, great. Wonderful. So we've been hearing from the man, Scott Allen, and he has been sharing some great and wonderful nuggets with us with regards to how we can empower our destiny and be the best possible version of ourselves. So we'll give him a rest as we take a quick commercial break. We will be back after this. Stay tuned.
FindRadioGuest.com, the place to click to find guests to interview for free. And if you're a radio show booker, podcaster, talk show host, or television producer, then this is the place to get podcasts and radio interviews or promote your books and products as a guest expert sponsor. FindRadioGuest.com. Check it out.
Okay, great. So we are back live in the breakout room with Scott Allen, author, entrepreneur, and coach. Scott, are you currently involved in any kind of mentoring program? Are there some people or maybe just one individual that you are seeing great potential in? And you have you're telling yourself, you know what? I can invest some of Scott Allen into this group of people or into this individual because I'm seeing the potential there. And I want the work that I'm doing to go on and continue and grow and develop in other people as well. Are you currently involved in any programs like that?
I've worked with quite a few people over the years to help them to get crystal clear on what it is that they want to create out of their life. So, yes, I am. Now, I also have a mentor and I have a coach. And I have somebody that I learn from as well, which I also think is very important. Mm-hmm. So my answer is yes, I am involved in, helping a lot of people actually change their lives through my programs and everything. We also do, group coaching calls where, we'll get a lot of people into the Zoom room and I'll do a training session and they can ask questions later, similar to like a lot of online workshops and things like that.
So, great, wonderful. So how do you help people maintain focus on tasks that are difficult, and not only difficult, but challenging? And I mean, for example, you're on the firing line, so to speak, and it's a situation where you have to make a split second decision or choice, and it could go either way. And many a times, if we are caught in that kind of situation, Scott, we find our backs against the wall, and a lot of people break down and think, oh my goodness, what am I supposed to do now? But there are others who would say, I live for moments like that because I know how to channel myself from a situational awareness perspective and be present in the moment and just focus on what needs to be done for the task at hand. How do you help people in those difficult situations to maintain that kind of focus that would allow them to make good decisions?
Yeah, so I've been there many times where I had too many things to choose from and I didn't know which direction to take. We can call it distraction. Distraction is huge. We have a lot more distractions these days. There's social media and there's TV is more interesting and there's all this, but I would disagree. I think that people 100 years ago still had distractions. They just had different kinds of distractions.
Right.
And those things are not going away, and that's okay. Like, because your field of vision, what's happening is, and this happens with myself all the time, is that whenever I feel confused, I'm wasting time, I don't know what to do next, it always comes back to I have not selected the number one priority that I should be focusing on for that day or that moment.
Okay.
And it always comes back to your, what is your priority? Your priority needs to be that one thing that you're working on. And this is, in many cases, it is the hard thing to do. It has to be that one thing that is going to, once you check it off your list, then you're going to be able to move on to the next priority. So I always have the, I have a list of my priorities. Now, if you ever look at the, I don't have the grid in front of me, but there's the Stephen Covey's quadrant, you know, we've got the four spaces. So up in the top right, that is the quadrant where, you know, the quantum field exists. And we actually, those are where our priorities are. And then we have like the things that are emergencies and the things that are important, but they're emergencies and et cetera, and those things. But you have to clearly define what is the priority that you need to be working on at the moment. Now that's, again, that is a difficult thing to do, because what do you do when everything's a priority and everything's important? And I've got phone is ringing and I've got people over here yelling at me for something, and I've got this project, or I've got three projects. And the thing is that, again, you have to step back, take a deep breath, and realize you can't do all these things at once. So you, and that gets into multitasking, which I did for many years trying to prove that it was actually possible. It's actually very bad for your mental health and your mindset. But we do get pulled into multitasking and doing things for 10 minutes and 20 minutes. And then, you know, I've had days and weeks where I did a lot of hard work and got nothing done. So, so again, I think I mentioned earlier that I usually set out three priority tasks for the day, but you don't need three. You can just have one, you know, one is enough, because when you finish it, then you can decide what the next one is. But you do need to be clear on what it is you're moving towards. Now, there are things that are going to come up that need to be dealt with right away. That could be a family issue, an issue in your office, you know, and that may not be one of your priorities. But when those things happen, you need to take care of it, right? But I think we're referring to more like the things that we can be doing on a day-to-day basis to keep us more focused, right? So what I did is I took out a sheet of paper, and I'd recommend this to anybody. I drew a line down the sheet of paper, left and right side. On the left side, I made a list of all the things that are distracting for me. And they were like, you know, scrolling through TikTok and checking email every 10 minutes. And what I would do to, I would expand on this list every day by tracking and observing all the things that I was jumping into, leaping towards, and just, you know, things that I would just do randomly, or reacting to, you know, reacting to that. So the left side had all these things, because you have to be aware of what they are. Otherwise, they're just gonna take over your day. On the right side, I had the things that are really important to me, the things I really wanted to finish. Now that list was shorter, right? And the list of all the distractions was a much longer list. It was like, but the thing is that, as I started to track the things that I was randomly working on, when it happened in the moment, let's say I'm working on something, I'm trying to get into the flow, into the deep work, and suddenly, you know, my mind goes, oh, let's go check email again. And next thing I know, we do it very, you know, unconsciously. We're just over there doing it, you know, and, or my phone is in my hand and I'm, again, you know, watching a cat video on TikTok. And I don't even have a cat. So just things like that, you know, you start to notice these things more. And then you're like, what am I doing? And then you can break the habit right there. It'll probably come back again. But every time you realize that you're doing it, you know that you have a choice to stop doing that. So I check email multiple times a day. It's a habit that I'm still breaking. I think we're and we have text messages and all this, but your focus is, you know, a lot of us end up like shotgunning our focus. And what I'm doing is going deeper with, like, Cal Newport, I think, like, he's got a great book on that, Deep Work. And that's what I'm all about, is just like going deep into the process. And that's where the deep focus is at. That's also the challenge as well, is going into that deep work, which, so what I'll do, just an example, like making that list, but then also every day I'll block off 2 hours a day to work on my most important thing. And for me, and this is different for other people, but for me, it is 2 hours of content creation, because I'm a content creator. I'm either writing something, or I'm maybe creating videos, whatever it is, I'm creating something, because that is one of my core values, right? So another thing is that in my journal, I also made a list of values, because if I'm doing all these other things that have nothing to do with my values, then I'm out of alignment.
Right? Yeah. So
values is a few of them are like, you know, integrity, creativity, and gratitude, and got many more.
Right.
The creativity one is key, because when I'm creative, I'm actually creating something that first of all makes me feel good, and right. secondly, I'm creating something that I can share with the world and potentially help a lot of people with this thing that I'm creating. So I create a lot of frameworks for training, and when I have my 2-hour time block, I put that into my calendar and I protect it. Now, do I get distracted during this time? Yes. Do I suddenly find myself doing something like, I'm in the fridge looking for something to eat and I'm not even hungry? You know, so these things will happen. But again, I realize that I'm doing it in the moment. I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be back working on this thing. So you just keep bringing yourself back and back and back again, you know, and eventually, like, you need to just train yourself. Like, focus is really, it's a skill, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's something that you just, you have to keep working on it and working on it. So when you find yourself, you know, doing something completely different, a lot of people are like, oh, there, I failed, you know, now I'm out of the zone. So I might as well go and just, you know, like, I'm just using TV as an example. It can be anything, you know, but now we're off doing mm-hmm. something completely different that's not related to our deep work to begin with. But right. if you're having problems with focus, you know, there could be a lot of other issues related to that. Remember, you can train your brain to focus for, you don't have to start with 2 hours, by the way. Start with 10 minutes and 15. It's just the muscle. It is the muscle. You can build up to it, right? When I started to do this deep work, I was struggling with, you know, the first 15 minutes, really. So I had to break it down into a small step and start
right. with. Yeah. 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 Good. I love that, because I have a personal experience. Last night I was doing some work on a book that I'm working on. It's entitled Responsibility. Two separate words leads to responsibility. One word. And I tell myself, I'm going to put in at least half an hour writing a chapter. Mm. At the middle of doing that, Scott, boom, switch to YouTube. Hell no. I'm telling myself, no, focus, and stay focused. Mm. 5 minutes pass, and then it tells me, go drink something, go look in the fridge, just like you spoke about. I'm thinking, wait a minute. All these distractions keep coming all the time. That is to test me. So you know what? My intention is, I'm going to time myself and make sure that I stick to that half hour. When the half hour is finished, I can do anything else after that. So I get it. I understand fully, Scott. I appreciate that. Thanks for sharing. We're coming to the end of the program, and we'd appreciate comments. We had folks on. We'd appreciate your comments or even your questions now, as Scott is still here with us. But I just want to put him on the spot a little bit. You have anything close to sports? Any sports you're involved in, Scott?
Yeah, so I frequently go to the gym probably 3 times a week. I've been training since I was probably in high school. And although I'm currently not doing it, I was in karate for a very long time. So I went into a lot of tournaments here in Japan, and I miss it. I'm going to get back into it. But the sports, for the most part, for me, is really like going to the training, doing some running. I like high impact sports, not necessarily football, but I think it's really important to like move your body, not just standing there like, you know, I kind of love weight training, but I've been doing it for so long. It's like I feel the need to get into yoga and do these other things, like stretching as well. Stretching's not necessarily a sport, but I've found that I'll spend about 30 minutes a day now stretching, and it feels great. So, because if you're doing sports, you can stretch your body out. You're going to be able to achieve a much higher level with whatever sport you're involved in.
Yeah, yeah, great. You see a lot of sumo wrestling over there?
Not live, but I do see a lot of it on TV. Yeah, I love judo. I never practice judo myself, mm-hmm. but sports. So yeah, I do watch a lot of sports. I guess on TV, you know, I don't go to a lot of them live.
So. Yeah, great. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. So I'm just going to put some information up here, but I want you to tell our audience how they can get in contact with you if they need your services, speaking, your coaching services, and how they can get your books.
Sure. Yeah. So the books you can find, you know, most people are probably on Amazon. You can go there and just plug in Scott Allen Books. You can find the books on there. The domain name scottallenbooks.com is for our Shopify store where it's live and it's about 80% complete, but you can still buy products on there.
Okay.
And if you go to Scott Allen Publishing, the other domain, you can just find more information about the books. But either way, you know, all these paths all lead back to each other anyway. So you can find me on social media as well on LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok as well. So.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you. This has been an amazing episode. We thank Scott Allen for sharing wonderful information and insights about how we can empower our destiny right here live in the breakout room. So until next time, this is Andy of Andy's Personal Development together with Scott Allen, reminding you guys that you can live a better quality life by focusing on health, happiness, and prosperity. And remember, there's always a better version of you on the inside waiting to come out on the outside. Until next time, bye for now. Shalom. God bless. Peace.
Thank you. Namaste.
Bye, guys. Hold on 1 minute. I'm seeing a comment coming in there. Oh, it's just this. Good night, guys. Good night, Loretta. Thank you for tuning in and watching. We had a couple other people on, but I guess they were shy. They didn't want to make any comments. That's all right. Until next time, bye. See you soon. Take care.